Come on, come on. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Man, 10 o'clock's ready to go. I love it. I gave so much props to the 8:30 for being the liveliest 8:30 service, but it's close, but I think 10 o'clock might have a little more energy in the room. I don't know. There we go. I love it. Hey, thank you so much for the honor to be here. It's been an incredible day already. So many people responding to God's word in the 8:30 service, and that's why we're here, right? You're not here just to hear me speak or hear this amazing worship team, which can we show some love to the worship team this morning? Absolutely incredible. Pastor Tim, the entire team are absolutely amazing. Most of you probably don't know, Pastor Tim and I also went to college together. We were suite mates for a time, which means we shared a bathroom, which if you really want to get to know somebody, all you married people, you know, share a bathroom with them, and you really get to know somebody. But no, you are amazing. Come on, one more time. Show some love to the worship and the production team. I do think that we might need to pray a little bit for the production team this morning, though, because they were oddly excited that your pastor's not speaking this morning. The level of enthusiasm had reached concerning levels, so I don't know what that means 100%, but it's going to be good either way. But thank you. It's an honor to be here this morning. Man, I want to give a shout out to my pastors, Pastor Kevin and Martha Fouts, who they were here recently with you guys, and I have the best pastors in the world. We've been on staff there for over 12 years, and I'm so thankful that I get the space in our church and in our house to be able to travel and do things like this. I was in Atlanta last week and then here with you guys today, so it's an awesome time to be in the church, amen? God is doing some amazing things, and you, I don't know if you realize, but you have some of the best pastors on the planet. And I talked about this a little bit. Come on, yeah, we can show some love already. I told him, I was like, I'm going to do this every service. You're not going to like it, but once I've got the mic, you don't get a choice. So I can do what we want. But man, being a lead pastor, one of the parts of my job as being an executive pastor means that I get to walk arm in arm with my lead pastor, and I get access to things and that he deals with, that he goes through, that not all of our staff does. And I can tell you, being a lead pastor is not easy. The weight that they carry, the vision that they carry, the directional weight of the church, the spiritual weight of the church, the things that they have to steward to be able to make sure that they're providing a place where the Spirit of God can move and the vision of Radical Church can move forward in a healthy way. And you guys have a pastor and his wife that do it so well and are leading so well. I just want to honor you. Can we show some love to them? Killing it. Killing it. I said some other things in the 8:30, but I also realized that my clock ran out and I was not even close to being done. So we're going to get in the message because I got 32 minutes and that clock is just staring me right in the soul right now. So, hey, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. We're going to get there in just a minute. But we've been in an Acts series over the past several weeks. And I love the book of Acts because we're talking about Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. He's raised from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit has been poured out in Acts chapter 1 and at chapter 2. And then we have the birth of the church in Acts chapter 3 and 4, and really the rest of the book of Acts, we're hearing the story, God's story of the beginning of his church. Now, Radical Church was a church plant and now has grown and done incredible things, but they planted as a part with Discovery Church, and we were able to walk side by side with them and help the beginning of this church. But can you imagine planting a church when church is not a thing? That the church did not exist. That the idea of what we know of the church of today did not exist. And yet in the book of Acts, we see the beginnings of the church. And the church in Acts was disruptive. We need in our world today, we need a disruptive church. A church that is not going to conform to social ideologies or political opinion, but a church that will stand on the firm foundation that we sang about just a few moments ago and say, we will not be moved. And that means that sometimes we have to cause a little bit of disruption. Yeah, yeah. We're not going to be normal to the world's standards. But I love that when we see the Spirit poured out, he is faithful as he works through his people and he works in the church. And so Acts chapter 13, and we're going to read it in just a second. Actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and get to it if we can throw that up. And before we do, I want to pray over the message today. And I get the privilege when I travel like this, for on occasion my family gets to go with me. And I don't have everybody with me today. My wife, Sherry, she's on the front row. I'm not going to make her stand, but she's down here on the corner. She loves hugs from new people that she does not know. I'm just kidding. my wife and I, we've been married for over 13 years, and she is the reason that I get to stand up here and do this, because I would not be here today without you. So thank you for your support, your leadership, and your love. We have three amazing, beautiful kids. My oldest is 8 years old. His name's Deacon. And then I have a 6-year-old daughter, 4-year-old son, Bennett and Davis. Deacon is here with me today. Actually, come up here with me real quick. Come up here.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Go, go, go.
Get up here.
Go,
you're taking up my clock time. I need you to hurry. Running out of time. No, I'm kidding. This is my 8 years old. He loves Jesus. And my 6-year-old daughter, Bennett, she loves Jesus, we think. You have goals for your children that you don't always tell them. My goal is I just want Bennett to love Jesus, and that's a win. So, no, she's awesome. And then my 4-year-old, Davis, and he's just happy to be here. So, but before we get started, will you just pray real quick over our service?
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the people that came to praise the Lord. And hopefully that people that are new here can connect with the Lord more. Amen.
Amen. Come on. Thank you, buddy. You can go sit. I love it. I love it. We had VBS this weekend. We got any VBS volunteers in the house? You were here. Hey, God bless you. You were here, and now you're back again. You're either on fire for God or you've lost your mind, one of the two. Maybe both. I don't know. But, hey, what you do for your kids, what you do for your students, we have to build the next generation of the church. Because we've heard it said they're the church of tomorrow, and I think, honestly, they're the church of today. And if we don't build our kids and teach them what it looks like to follow Jesus, we don't have a church for the future. So, hey, let's keep it. Come on, show some love to your kids' team for VBS, your student pastors and your student ministry. Come on, taking a record number to camp this year? Like, I don't know if you realize this, but what God did in the early church that seemed disruptive, God is doing through Radical Church in this city. And we get to be a part of it, which is incredible. So we're going to read in Acts chapter 13, verse 32 through 36. It says this: "We tell you the good news, what God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, and today I will become your father.' God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God has said, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.' So it is also stated elsewhere, 'You will not let your Holy One see decay.'" And I want us to key in on this verse in verse 36. And it says this: "Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation." Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, "he fell asleep and was buried, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay." We have been called to live out God's destiny and God's purpose in our generation. That the same statement that was made about David's life that can be so easily skipped over in Scripture, I think is something that we need to lean in today and understand that our life is not about our story. Our life is not about our desires and our future, but our life and our story is about God's story and his divine destiny of what he wants to do in and through your life. Because God has a purpose and God has a plan for each and every one of us. And I don't mean just in the generalized way of God has good things for you and God has good plans, but God has a specific destiny and design for your life. And just as David served God's purpose in his generation, will we serve God's purpose in ours? And I think the conversation about purpose is one that is so common and oftenly talked about in our culture today of what is purpose? What does it mean to have purpose? How do I discover my purpose? How do I know if I've found it? And what happens if I miss it? Where do I even start to discover purpose for my life? And I think, honestly, we've all been there at one point or another where we've asked the question about our life, what's next? Like, where do we go from here? And we feel the tension of we've had the job and we've started a family and we've made money and we have things and we've been successful, but yet there's still something in our soul that even when things in our life look good and they look like we've got it together and that looks like that everything should be great, there's still something that's longing in your soul for more. Of God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do through me? How can my life impact others that you feel the pull for something greater, something that fulfills your soul in a way that nothing else on earth can? And purpose isn't just something that you find, but purpose is something that God gives. God uniquely gives each one of us, and I would submit to you that we're talking about more than just purpose in the sense of direction, but I believe that God has what we would define today as a divine destiny for your life. So if you're a person who likes titles on sermons, you're a note taker and you like titles, the title of the message today is simply Divine Destiny. And God has called us into this, a destiny that has created for you, that has prepared for you, and that will enable you to fulfill all that God has. And calling and destiny is not just something for people with a mic in their hand and people on a platform. And often in churches in America today, we look at leaders and we look at pastors and we look at people on a platform and we're like, those are the people with special callings. Those are the people with special purposes. Those are the people that God is going to use. But let me tell you today, the greatest impact in the world today is not going to happen from a pulpit, but it's going to happen when the people of God take up their responsibility and live out the destiny that God has for us. The greatest leaders will probably never have a mic in their hand. Some of the greatest pastors may never lead a church, but you're leading your business, you're leading your family, you're leading your coworkers, you're leading the people that God has given you influence into their life. And nothing is by mistake, but God has orchestrated every single piece as a part of His divine destiny. Men, God has called you. Women, God has called you. Students, young adults, God has called you. Kids, got a couple of kids in the room. God has called you. Every one of us has been given a unique purpose. Grandma, grandpa, or senior adults in the room, God is still using you. And I've seen so many people get to a point in their life where they check out and think, I don't have a place in the church today. I don't have a place in leadership today. Listen, we need your voice. We need your wisdom. We need your leadership. We need your counsel. We need your prayers. We need you just as much today as we ever have. Why? Because God's destiny is still alive in your life today. If you've been saved and following Jesus 50 years, God's got a purpose and a destiny for your life. If you've been following Jesus for 5 minutes, God's got a destiny and a purpose for your life. And I'll even say this, maybe you're in the room today and you're new to church, new to faith, and you wouldn't say that you're following Jesus or that He's the Savior and Lord of your life yet. God has a purpose and a destiny for your life. Even if you're not following Him yet, His purpose and plan for you is still real today. And so if we want to be the church that our world desperately needs, if we want to walk in the divine destiny that God has for us, 3 quick things I want to give you. Number one, we are called to be. We are called to be. Who are you called to be? And this is a foundational truth that we have to get the answer to this question right. Not that other truths that we see in Scripture and about our faith are not important, but there are foundational truths that are much more valuable to the structure of your faith and understanding of God and who He's called you to be. I'll illustrate it this way. We built a house a couple of years ago, and there's so many decisions that have to be made and so many things that go into it, and there's so many things about it that we designed it exactly the way that we've always wanted. I always wanted a white brick house, all white inside and out, like super... like aesthetic tones. I just like minimal stuff. So we got exactly what we wanted. But, you know, I've never had anybody come over to my house and when they walk in, I've never had anybody say, man, I just love your foundation. Like that is some good concrete. Like they, like those stem walls, those are good stem walls. Like nobody says that, right? Like, because it's why? It's unseen. Nobody goes, man, the framing on your house, that just brings it, that just brings the space together. Never seen quality. Why? Because it's unseen. And can I submit to you that the most important parts of your house are not the parts that we show off to everybody, but it's the things that no one will ever see but us. Questions like, who are you called to be? The elements that form the foundation of your spiritual identity are the most important things of your walk with God, and they are things that people will never see. But who are we called to be? How do we answer that question? Are you able to formulate in a sentence of, this is who God has called me to be? And most people, especially most men, we would answer that question with like, I am called to be a, and then we insert it with some type of thing that we do, some type of role that we fulfill, some type of position or place that we have. And the problem with that is that over time life happens. And the roles that we fill change. The places that we are shift. The things that we do sometimes change. Sometimes we change our mind. Has anybody ever changed their mind? And spiritual identity cannot be formulated on man's ideas. Because Proverbs 19 says this, that many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. As a pastor and leader, my spiritual identity is not I am called to be a pastor. That is not who I am. Being a pastor is what I do, but it is not who I am. You know why? Because in college, I changed my major 11 times. Many are the plans in a person's heart. And the problem is if your identity, who you're called to be, is built on what you do, you will live in a consistent state of spiritual whiplash. I'm this today, I'm that tomorrow, I'm this next week. Never really understanding who you are. But listen, who we are called to be, we are called to be His. You are called to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I know some people, when I said that, you're like, oh, well, yeah, you just made the play on words. That's cute, that's great. No. Hear me. This is not just words, but a right understanding of who I am. And who I am is not what I do, but it is who God has created me to be. Sometimes we change our minds. Sometimes life happens and brings change and transition. Sometimes opportunity hits. Sometimes tragedy hits our life. And so often, I've seen people shaken and broken because their identity was built on man's ideas and not God's ideas. And the tragedy that hit your life broke not just the state of your life, but it broke who you were. But here's the thing about God. He wasn't surprised and He wasn't caught off guard. And in the middle of your pain, and in the middle of your brokenness, in the middle of your questions, He is at work. Romans 8:28 says that, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to whose purpose? His purpose. David fulfilled God's purpose in his generation. And if we're going to live out God's story, we first have to understand that it is not about us, but it is about who God has created us to be. And if we're going to be all that He's called us to be, we must understand that first. But secondly, we haven't been called just to be, but we've also been called to do. Now, what you do does not have no value. It's just not foundational in who you are. We've been called to be, but then we've been called to do. You want to know the difference between a dying church and a thriving church? A dying church believes they've been called to be. And those are the churches that refuse to understand that they've also been called to make an impact in their community. That this is who we are. We gather together and we do our thing, and it's about us. It's about what happens inside these four walls. It's about just what we do here. We've been called to be this church. But a thriving church understands that you've been called to do. That the church is way bigger than these four walls, but it is about a city, it is about a state, it's about a nation that is in need of a disruptive church that will make an impact. We've been called to do. And so we have to ask ourselves, what has God gifted me to do? What has God uniquely called me to do? And gifts are not just for pastors. We talk about it in the same way that we talk about calling. It's like, oh, well, yeah, the worship team, they're gifted because they can sing and they can play an instrument. And anybody who gets up there with a mic and talks, you're gifted because you're able to get up there and put your words together sometimes. And communicate, but I'm not gifted. I'll come and help out. I'll come and serve. I'll do whatever a leader or a pastor asks me to do, but I don't have anything to give. And I love the song, Gratitude. It's one of my most favorite worship songs to sing, but there's just one little tiny part that I have with the entire song. And I'm not saying you should stop singing it, or this is probably going to ruin your worship on this song for some people. And I sincerely apologize. But, you know, you guys sing the song, right? You sing Gratitude here?
Oh, yeah.
So I throw up my hands. Praise you again and again, because all that I have is a... Okay. Can I submit to you that you have way more to give God than just a hallelujah? You have way more to give His church. You have way more to give this city than just a hallelujah. But you have your gifts, your time, your energy, your resources, your influence, your space to be able to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Yes, we come into this place and we worship and we lift God's voice, or we lift our voice in praise to God and we lift His name. But you have so much more to give than just a simple hallelujah. What has God gifted you to do? What influence do you have? What relationship do you have that you can use to make an impact? And I know every time I talk about gifting in a church, there's always about a third or half of the room that's like, yeah, no, it's still not me. I'm not gifted. I don't have anything special to give. And that's fine. You don't have to believe me, because here in a couple of hours, it's going to be the end of my time here at Radical Church for this year at least. And then you don't have to see me for a while. So you don't have to believe me. But let's ask this question. How many of you believe the Word of God is true? Okay, we're almost there. Speaking of foundational truths, this is a big one. Do we believe that the Bible is true? Okay, good. We're all together. We believe the Bible is true. So if you don't believe me, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, talking about our gifts. It says in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." How many received that? By grace, we have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, but it is a what? It is a gift. Well, I'm not gifted. If you've received the gift of salvation, you have the greatest gift of all. And I've been gifted this gift of salvation, not as a result of works, meaning what? I didn't do it so that I can't boast. God has given it to me. But then let's look at the second half. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. What does that mean? You've been created to do. You've been gifted by God, beginning with salvation. And He's created you, wired you with your unique personality, with your way that your brain works, the way that you see the world for a specific reason and purpose. One of the reasons that when Pastor Trevor was on our staff that we worked so well together is we are very different people. Trevor is, and we'd be in meetings, and Trevor is always fun. Trevor is always the optimist. Like, the building's on fire, and he's like, sweet, we get to remodel. The building is almost burned to the ground, and I'm like, how are we going to pay for this? Like, is the insurance going to cover all of it? What are we going to do? How long is it going to take us to get back in? He was like, dude, new paint colors, let's go. And a lot of us would chalk that up to just, oh, well, you're just different personalities. But can I submit to you that your personality is part of God's unique workmanship? To do the work of the ministry, to do the work of impact in the city, your gifting, your wiring is not by accident, because God does not do anything by accident. And God does not make mistakes. God has gifted you. And you're like, well, that's just one verse. I mean, I know how you preachers are. You can make one verse say anything you want to. Okay, let's do another one. 1 Peter chapter 4. Each of you should use what? Whatever gift. Not use the gift if maybe by chance that God maybe happened to give you one. But He is implying you have been gifted. So whatever gift you have, and in your eyes it may be big, and it may be small, and it may be impactful, and it may seem insignificant to you. But our identity and our value is not determined by man's ideas, but it's determined by God's word. And He said, whatever gift you have, use it to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its very forms. We will not be held accountable for what gift we have, but we will be held accountable for how we use the gift we have. And so many of us, we live paralyzed by comparison of what we lack and what we need. And listen, complaining about what you lack is the language of the defeated. As long as you live in what you don't have and what you didn't get and what God passed you over and gave somebody else, you will always live with limited faith and limited vision. But God has called you to more. So what do I have? What do I have in my hand? I'm reminded of Elisha when he goes to the woman's house and she goes, I have nothing. And he goes, well, what do you have? And she goes, I have a little bit of oil. And what does he say? Then grab a bunch of jars and begin to pour. I wonder, what little bit of oil do you have in your house today? What little bit of oil do you have in your spirit? What little bit of oil has God given you that doesn't seem like much, that doesn't seem like it could make a difference, that doesn't seem like it could change a city, that doesn't seem like it could change a workplace, that doesn't seem like it could change a school? But if you'll begin to work it and you'll begin to pour it and you'll begin to be faithful, God is going to pour out more than you could ever imagine. We've been called to do. So ask yourself, what am I gifted to do? What am I gifted to do? How has God uniquely created me? Recently, my family and I went to the store before going on a trip like this, and I really, really wanted a new pair of pants before we went. And for those of you who don't know me, I really struggle with buying pants. Going to the store, for me, I'm not very tall, big surprise. I'm a little bit short, but my legs are larger than my height say they should be. So whoever designed pants for men worldwide did not do it with me in mind, okay? Every pair of pants that I put on, they are like all the way to the floor. I need like a 27-inch length. It's just, it's a problem. So I recently discovered in my mid-30s, I discovered Kohl's. Some of you are like, where do you live? Like, do you live on a deserted island? Like, where are you? I've just never gone in the store. And some of you know this, but this is new to me. You spend money, and then they give you free money to come back in Kohl's cash. Like, I feel like it's illegal somehow, but they keep doing it. And I keep coming back. I'm like, I'm addicted to Kohl's. And so pray for me. We're working through it. It's a problem. So we go to Kohl's, and right before this, on Easter Sunday, I had this vulnerable moment because my slacks just ripped right in the middle of a Sunday service. I'm talking, and not like in the seam, just like in the middle of the fabric, just gone. So my pants ripped, I'm at Kohl's, and never take your children to the fitting room with you to give you feedback on if you should or should not buy clothes. So I'm in this vulnerable place, and I take my 8-year-old with me, and you guys have already seen his heart. Like, he is a beautiful, wonderful kid, but he's also honest, which is a great quality, but not in the fitting room when you've just ripped your pants the week before and you're extremely vulnerable about this choice. So I'm trying them on, and I keep bringing them out, and I'm like, what do you guys think about this, and what do you think about this, and, do you like this pair of pants? What do you think? And my son, now mind you, when you're a parent, you buy clothes for your kids that they can grow into, right? Because how many of you know, parents in the room, you buy them something and 2 weeks later it doesn't fit. Like, I'm so tired of doing that. Thank you so much. You guys have, every time I stop and take a drink, you guys are going to think that I'm like a windmill that runs on water. So thank you. But I was trying on the pants. I walk out, and I'm like, buddy, what do you think of these? Like, you like these? You know, I'm looking for some affirmation. Like, love language, I'm a words of affirmation guy. Like, that's where I live. I'm like, what do you think? Hoping, dreaming that he's going to encourage me in some way. And his answer is, well, you know, just like you guys buy pants for me, maybe you'll grow into them soon. So then I get to explain to him that, no, son, we capped out at the 7th grade and we've been done for a minute. So mid-30s, 5'7", my days in the NBA have expired. Like, it's not going to happen. Maybe one day I'll grow into them. And I wonder how many of us, we look at what God's calling us to do and we say the same thing. Maybe one day I'll grow into that gift. Maybe one day I'll grow into that calling. Maybe one day I'll have enough faith to step out and trust you. Maybe one day I can be bold
and step into all that you've called me to be, but not right now, not with my insecurities, not with my vulnerabilities, not with all the areas where I think I don't measure up and I'm not good enough. And God's saying, today is the day. Today is the day. That let it be said about us, just like it was of David, that we fulfilled God's purpose, God's divine destiny. We did what God called us to do in our generation for such a time as this. So what gift? What do you have? God's created us to do. You were created for a purpose. But our divine destiny is more than just what we do. But it's what we leave behind. We're called to be and we're called to do, but lastly, we're called to leave. And you and I are called to leave a legacy. Let's look at Acts chapter 13 again, verse 36. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, the beginning of a right perspective about purpose is to understand that life is not about our story, but it's about God's story. And imagine if you could look to the end of your life. Just for a second, I want you to imagine that you've had all the experiences, you've had the career, you've had the family, you've gotten to the end of your life, and everything that you dreamed and hoped for has come and gone. Would it be said about us at the end of our life that Joseph fulfilled God's purpose in his generation? Will that be said about us? Will that be the legacy that we leave? Because it's not about our story, it's about his story. Just quickly, I'm reminded of a missionary who impacted my life, not because of what he did, but because of the legacy that he left. He was gone before I ever breathed my first breath, but it was a missionary by the name of J.W. Tucker. And J.W. was a missionary who felt that part of his purpose was to be a missionary to the Republic of the Congo. And the time that he would go would be in the late 50s and early 60s when the country was in the middle of civil war. And it was so rampant throughout the nation and it was so hostile that the Assemblies of God actually pulled all of their missionaries out of the entire region, including that nation, and they brought them home. And after being home for about 18 months, J.W. was so burdened for the Congolese people that he said, I have to go back, that I can't stay here. That I know that God has called me to go. Have you ever felt that in your spirit that you know it doesn't always make sense, but you know that God has called you to take the next step? That God has called you for more. And everyone in his life said, JW, you can't go back. That the war is too intense right now. That spiritual leaders that are left, even nationals in the Congo, are being drugged into the street and brutally murdered. You can't go back. He said, but God has called me to go. And I'll never forget the story of him walking to the gate in the airport and his family and friends actually pleading with him. JW, please don't go. Please don't go. If you go, you may never come back. And his response still rings in my soul to this day, that he turned and looked at everyone pleading with him to stay and said, God never called me to come home. He just called me to go. And we stand and sit here together. And maybe God's not calling you to a foreign country to sacrifice your life, but I do believe that God is calling us to leave something behind to be all that he is calling us to be. And God didn't call you to come back to what's comfortable and what's easy and what's known, but he's called us to move ahead into all that he has for us. And I wonder what kind of legacy we're going to leave. Are we going to leave behind a legacy to our friends and our families and our children? Are we going to leave a legacy that says we always went to what's easy and we always went to what's comfortable and we always went to what made sense? Or did we follow what God called us to do? Did we pray big prayers and believe for God to do the impossible? Were we willing to make sacrifices to say yes and give God every part of our life? How would it shape my life If I looked at every part of my life with the idea of, would it be said that I fulfilled God's purpose for my generation? Would it change my thoughts? Would it change my desires? Would it change the decisions that I make? How would it shape the way that I lead? How would it shape the way that I parent? How would it shape the way that I share my faith? Because we have a responsibility to leave a legacy, to know God and to make Him known. We're called to be, we're called to do, and we're called to leave. David served God's destiny in his generation. But the question for us today is, will we? Will we? Because there's a city that depends on our answer. There's workplaces that depend on our answer. There's schools, there's universities that depend on our answer. Will we say yes and not just live our story, but will we live God's story and fulfill His purpose in this generation? Would you stand with me as we begin to close this morning? We're going to have a very clear and simple response to the word today. Will we? Will we have that set of our life? And the response is very simple. That God is looking for a church in 2024 that will be like the church that we see in the book of Acts. That will say, God, you can have all of me. Every part. I completely commit my entire life to you. This is not about just making Jesus our Savior. And maybe you're here today and you need to make Jesus your Savior. And ask Him to forgive you of your sins and commit your life to follow Him. But following Jesus is more than just Him being your Savior, but also your Lord. That God, you have control. You take the lead. And so today, maybe you need to commit your life to Him. Maybe you've been back and forth on the fence, that you kind of commit to Him, you kind of follow Him, but there's a lot of what you want to do. There's a lot of your will, your way that's still involved. And today, God, I'm going to commit my life to you, every single part. Maybe you need to repent like I've had to do so many times. Repent to God and say, God, I'm sorry for making life about me. I'm sorry for making decisions about me. I'm sorry for making my story about me and less about you. But God, today you've got my life, my resources, my influence, every part of me. Maybe you need to submit some decisions. You need to submit some control back to God. A lot of times we play tug of war with God. God, I know what you're asking me to do, but that doesn't make sense. God, that's not going to be easy. God, that's going to require some sacrifice. That's going to require me to let go. And I believe that's what God's calling you to do today. Let go of the rope. Let go of the rope. God can't just be a guest in your house. You know, if you have somebody that comes and stays with you, what do we always say to people? Make yourself at home. We don't mean that. If somebody truly made themselves at home, they took their shoes off, laid them on the coffee table, kicked their feet up, raided your fridge. If they truly made themselves at home, you'd be like, bro, you got to get out. But with God, sometimes we do the same thing. We give Him a guest room. But today we need to say, God, come and make yourself at home. God, you can have access to every room. You can have access to the Master because you're Savior and Lord. God, you can have all of me. And today, if you're willing to make that statement and that commitment, that God, you can have all of me, every part. I'm going to count to three. When we do, the team's going to begin to sing. And I challenge you to take a step from where you're seated. And we're going to gather around this front together. And we're going to worship together. We're going to declare together the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And make a decision today that at the end of my life, let it be said that for Joseph, he served God's purpose in his generation. For Pastor Trevor, he served God's purpose in his generation. For Ashley, for Crystal, for Courage, they served God's purpose in their generation. If that's you and you'll make that statement today, would you move on the count of three? One, this is your moment. Don't miss it. Two, this is not just about a feeling. It's about a commitment. Three, would you move now? God, you can have all of me. You can have every part. You're not just a guest in my house, but God, come and make yourself at home. You can have every room, every part. Move in me, work in me. When you get to this front, would you just throw your hands up to heaven and begin to worship him? God, you can have all of me. God, show in me the things that I'm holding back. Show in me what you want to do. God, help me to let go, give you control. God, you want to do so much through me, so much in me. God, and I give you all of my life today. All of my life, you can have it all.
That are easy to give to you. But the challenge today, Lord, has been to give all of ourselves to you, God. To give up our plans and to give up what we feel like we lack or what we don't have, and just to say, God, what have you given me? What can I do with what you've given me, God? with the resources you've given me, with the talents, the gifts that you've given me. God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve others the way that you said that I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Man, there's people that have died for you, Jesus. But today, I believe the call is for us to live for you, Jesus. Right here, right now, we're going to live for you, God. And so I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. For every person that's in this room today, that maybe they lack direction, or they lack a sense of worth or of purpose or of destiny or whatever that might be, God, I pray that you would infuse that in them right now in the name of Jesus. By the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would give them a sense of direction. Holy Spirit, that you would give them the next step. We can't always see 10 steps ahead. We can't always see 15 steps ahead. But God, I just ask that there's somebody in the room that just needs to know the next step today. And so God, I pray that you would give that now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you and we honor you in this place. Come on, can you give a shout of praise for the God who loves you and cares for you and orders your every step? Amen. For those of you that want to continue praying, man, I ask you, come on up here. We got some great prayer partners that want to pray along with you today. Of course, we have Red, White, and Blue Bash. We'd love to hang out with you. But before we leave, can we show honor where honor is due and honor my friend Joseph Kelly bringing the word today? Amazing, amazing, amazing. I'm ready to do something for Jesus after that. I don't know about you guys. I'm ready to do something for Jesus. Hey, we love you so much. God bless you, and we'll see you outside. Let's hang out. God bless.